I think very few scientists really give much attention to the possibility that there's more to reality than just what the physical world consists of.
Are you at a point now where you could say without a doubt that spirituality, because I don't like to use the word religion in any of this, and I don't think that's what we're talking about.
Well, it isn't. In fact, I think religion overall is not such a good thing. I think, in fact, I start this out in my book talking about religion and the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion has unfortunately given rise to a lot of the world's problems, both historically and even, of course, at the present day.
Oh,
so
sure.
I draw a big distinction between religion and spirituality.
Well, with spirituality and science, at this point of meeting, and it is, I mean, it's there, what happens next? I mean, do they continue, you know, if you have like two lines coming at each other and they hit at that point, do they stop, go together, or do they just keep going separately?
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing. I think it was Werner Heisenberg, the physicist, who wrote about how a blossoming could happen when you have two streams of thought come together that really seem to be the opposites, but somehow or other, in a given era, they're forced to meet, and how productive that can be. And I'm hoping that this is something that's going to happen over the next few years or a few decades in this new century, as science discovers that, well, maybe there's more to reality than what we've been studying with our microscopes and telescopes.
Give me your take on the Big Bang Theory.
Well, I'm perfectly fine with the Big Bang Theory. In fact, I kind of like it. It's a very good way to start a universe. So I have absolutely nothing against the Big Bang. I think it's a great thing.
What was the bang, though? What happened?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, that's, you're asking a question that I'm not capable of answering. What happened was that an enormous amount of energy began to expand, and as it expanded, it became more and more dilute, and eventually here's the interesting thing. Eventually, because some of the physical properties that came with our universe, some of the constants of nature that came with our universe were just right, it was possible for galaxies to form, for stars to form, for planets to form around stars, and for life to evolve. And that's really quite an amazing thing, that the conditions for this to happen were just right. In fact, if I had said this 20 years ago, I guess I would be accused of perhaps spouting some kind of intelligent design or whatnot. But the fact that the universe has constants that are just right for us to be here has actually become a part of mainstream astrophysics. It's not even contentious anymore. There are books out by it. For example, the British cosmologist Sir Martin Rees has written a book, and recently the Stanford physics professor Leonard Susskind has written a book. Now, of course, they draw a different conclusion from that than I do, but the notion that the universe is sort of just right for us to be here in terms of the physical variables that make that possible, that's really part of mainstream astrophysics today.
Well, is it possible, though, that there was no Big Bang, that what is here now always has been, without a jump start?
Well, I don't think so. In fact, I think that, jumping a bit into the God's theory, I think the idea is that we have a pre-existence of something, in my opinion, being a transcendent consciousness, in the view of modern science, I suppose, something being some pre-existing laws of physics, that gave rise to not just one universe, but many universes. The idea that we live in a universe that is part of a multiverse, part of perhaps even an infinite ensemble of universes, that's pretty much mainstream astrophysics as well. Now, the interpretation you give to that is highly variable. On the dogmatic science side, the notion is that we have random universes because everything emerges because of random quantum fluctuations and quantum properties, and we live in this particular universe because it's the only one we could possibly arise in, and there are others we can never see, we can never visit, but they've got to be there because everything's random. Now, in my view, what this indicates is there is probably a transcendent consciousness that gave rise to all of these universes, probably by the ideas of the infinite consciousness itself. So when you talk about a Big Bang as an origin of the universe, I'm quite comfortable with that, because if you want to have many universes originating, a Big Bang is a very good way to do it.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Hence, of course, your specific theory, the God theory. How'd you come up with that?
Well, let's step back a minute here. This goes back to some writings in the 1930s by a very famous astrophysicist called Sir James Jeans. He was a brilliant British astrophysicist. In fact, he has a crater on the moon named after him, and he was knighted for his work. And he wrote a book called The Mysterious Universe in the 1930s. And let me give you a short quote
from
that book.
Okay, sure.
He wrote, "The universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine. mind no longer appears as an accidental intruder into the realm of matter, we are beginning to suspect that we ought rather to hail it as the creator and governor of the realm of matter. And so he put out this idea that the universe may be more like a great thought than like a great machine. And now if you fast forward to the present day, and we've now discovered what genes did not know, that there are maybe seven or eight fundamental constants of nature that had to be just so, within ranges sometimes of a few percent, in order for us to be here. You put these two things together, and this certainly raises the possibility that there is a consciousness underlying it all. Not an intelligent design that micro-engineers life forms or anything like that, but a consciousness that has created laws of nature that result in our universe and perhaps other universes, and that there's a purpose behind that.
This consciousness that may have created this, there still seems to be some organization behind it or some thought process. You know, it's like when you look at a piece of machinery. One gear fits here, another gear fits here. All of them work together. They all have a purpose. Whoever designed that piece of machinery knew that all these pieces needed to be together. And if you took one out, just one, the whole thing didn't work. I mean, it fell apart. Isn't that how the universe is?
Well, this particular universe that we live in, yes, it's very finely tuned for us to be here. We can talk about some of the constants of nature and what they are and what their ranges need to be in order for us to be having this conversation tonight. But the point I want to make is that both my notion of an underlying transcendent consciousness and the explanation of modern astrophysics as to how we can have such a universe, both of these are equally plausible theories. Except in the one case, you have to assume the preexistence of certain laws that allow quantum fluctuations,
sure,
or strings to come about spontaneously. And on the other side, the one that I prefer but of course can't prove, that there is a transcendent consciousness whose ideas have become these universes in the same way that Sir James Jeans alluded to this 70 years ago. And I think it's even possible to infer what the purpose of that might be.
Is there an ongoing battle, then, between this consciousness and what we call science?
Well, I'm not sure about an ongoing battle. I suppose if there were one, the consciousness would have the upper hand.
It sounds more dramatic that way.
Yeah, it does. But there really isn't. I mean, what I'm proposing is an alternative that I think is equally plausible and equally logical. I'm not arguing that what I have written in my book is the truth. I'm just arguing that it's possible to take the best modern cosmological and astrophysical data and interpret it in terms of a transcendent consciousness underlying it all, and that this could give rise to a real purpose, not only to the universe, but to all of its inhabitants, us included. And I think that's a very important thing to put out into the world today, because a world without purpose, which unfortunately is the philosophy that's emerging from science, and has emerged from science over the last century, a world without purpose, I think it's one that's inevitably going to lead us downhill as a civilization, as a society.